This is a Mercies of God radio broadcast. This broadcast is coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan, telling forth from God's inspired, infallible, inerrant, and irresistible word, the glad tidings that mercy from the Lord is a living reality. This is your radio pastor, Peter Nortier, speaking. We trust that you will listen carefully for the next half hour as we endeavor to set forth the good news of mercy and pardon from a holy and just God to a world of guilty and lost sinners.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be.
Just a closer walk with me.
When my feeble life is o'er and my time down here's no more, guide me safely to that shore, dear Lord, to that shore. Just a closer walk with thee.
Oh, my lovely love, oh, my lovely love.
Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be.
We trust you've enjoyed that song sung by the late Jimmy Davis, and now we want you to bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that we can come to Thee with every problem, every heartache, every circumstance, no matter what it may be, and rest at Thy feet and cast our burdens upon Thee, because Thou dost care for His ship for Thy children. How thankful we are that Thine ear is open to the cry of Thy people, and Thy face is against them that do wickedly. And so, Lord, as we come to Thee, we come confident, praising Thee and thanking Thee for all that Thou art doing and all that Thou art going to do. We ask again, continue to supply every need, and thank you for what you're doing. And then, Lord, cause many hearts to listen into the broadcast, and we beg you, empower it as only thou canst do to the hearts of those who are listening in. But above everything else, get glory to thy holy name in all that's said and done. Thank you again for this precious privilege. We ask it, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is the pastor, Pastor Peter Nortier, or Nortier, speaking to you, and we're delighted to come into your home by the means of radio. Some of you hear us during the week, some of you hear us on the weekend, but whenever it is that you hear us, always remember one thing. We count it a real privilege to be a radio guest in your home. Some of you listen to us twice on Sunday, and we rejoice to hear that because you're able to pick us up on two different stations as we broadcast the truth of God. And we ask you to do these three things, if you will. Number one, if you're on praying ground, pray for us. If you're not on praying ground, my friend, something is wrong. You're either in a backslidden condition or else you've never been born again, because God's people, they cannot really exist very well without prayer. I wonder, have you ever been in an all-night prayer meeting? If you have not, you just don't know what you missed. To be in an all-night prayer meeting is a real privilege, and you know, we just don't have those things anymore. People seem to be too busy to come and sue for mercy from the Lord, and to lay their hearts and souls before Him, and have Him speak to them. Oh, I hope and pray that as I mentioned this, some of you may be stirred to even think about conducting one in your church or whenever it is that you're able to do so. Then the second thing we want you to do is tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. Give them the name of the station. Give them the name of the station, the call letters of the station, the time, and then give them the name of the broadcast so that they can tune it in. And then, if you will, just follow up and see if they've ever done it. You never know what's happened. Folks have gotten saved because of this broadcast, and we just praise the Lord for it. And we know that the Lord's dealing with some right now. And so, if you make that phone call and call a friend, you never know what'll happen. He might be an unsaved individual, and the Lord may just pierce his heart and cause him to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through this medium. But then at the same time, you'll have a hand in it because you've asked him to pick and listen to the broadcast. Then the third thing we want you to do is drop us a letter or a card. Our mailing address is the Mercies of God Association, or you may abbreviate it and put MOGA down, M-O-G-A, the address 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, the zip code 49505. Let me repeat it again. The Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, 1553 Knapp Street, Grand Rapids, Michigan, the zip code is 49505. We are also on the Internet, and if you're interested in picking us up on the Internet, here's how you do it. You go to podcastharbor.com. Podcastharbor, two words, .com. Then you'll find the religion media, and you can tune us in there. And you know that you'll even see what we look like. Now let's get quiet there around the radio. Let's listen to another number, and then we'll bring you a message from the Word of God. Remember, your cards and letters are important to us, so drop us that letter this week. We'll be looking to hear from you, so don't disappoint us.
Bibles now, and turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 66. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 7. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God, for he is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turneth the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nation. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Our subject today is the power of God. Today we shall look at another one of God's attributes. It will be the power of God. There are various kinds of power, but all stem from the consciousness of the ability of producing such an effect. For triumph, for example, there is the power of the atom and the power of hydraulics, the power of water, the power of electricity, as well as the persuasive power of the mind. Then there is the power of the military, the power of the presidency, the power of education, and the power of gravity. These are aspects of power, and this world today is worshiping, as it were, at the shrine of power. Yet all these pale into insignificance when compared to the power of God. In studying the power of God, we must first of all understand the meaning of the term power. The power of God is that ability and strength whereby God brings to pass whatsoever he pleases, whatsoever his infinite wisdom may direct, and whatsoever the infinite purity of his will may resolve. As holiness is the beauty of God's attributes, so power is that which gives life and action to all the perfections of the divine nature. God's power is life in himself, infinite, incomprehensible, eternal, and the power of God can neither be checked, restrained, or frustrated by the creature. Now let me give you some scripture to bear these things out so that we know where we stand. Take your Bibles now and turn to Psalm chapter 62 and verse 11, where we read, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Now turn to Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4, where we read, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hands, and there was the hiding of his power. Then, last of all, we read again Psalm 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And then in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, we read again, as the Scripture tells us very clearly, with regard to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have your Bibles? I hope you're following along with me. Hebrews chapter 1, and listen to verse 3, if you will. Listen to what it says. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Here we find something about the power of God. You see, my friend, these and many other verses verify the fact that Jehovah God, the God of the Bible, is a God of power. Yet in the average religious assembly of today, the Lord is portrayed as a helpless God who cannot do a thing unless and until man allow him the privilege of acting on man's behalf. If this is the God you are serving, my radio friend, you need to become acquainted with the God of the Bible. As we look a bit farther into the power of God, we need to see the various evidences of God's power being manifested all around us. First, we look unto creation and view the wonder of it as the Lord has brought this world into being. You know, my friend, we have a beautiful world and we have a very lovely country. I become very upset and disturbed and incensed at the way these liberals and modernists and do-gooders are bent on ruining our country. Our farmers are shackled and bound by government bureaucracy until it is almost impossible for farmers to make a good living. The abundant crops and harvests we see each year are dependent upon the power of God, yet the vast majority fail to acknowledge this, and I want to say to us very kindly, if we continue on the course embarked upon, the day is coming that our nation will be reduced to a starving, ruined country. And let's pray that it won't happen. Speaking again of the power of God, we need to recognize this fact once and for all. Our world did not come about by evolution, but through the divine fiat or power of the Lord God of heavens. Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 33 and verses 6 through 9, where we read, listen to these awesome words, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the dead in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. These are but a few words describing how our world came into existence. And my friend, it didn't come into existence by evolution. It came by the power of God as directed by him. Our Lord spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And that's still the way it is going on. That's why the Scripture says, let all the inhabitants fear the Lord, and let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. My Lord spoke this world into existence, and all the evolutionists and atheists cannot change this reality, but they only set forth their ignorance and being willingly ignorant of this grand truth. Next, we see the preservation of this world is dependent upon the power of God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 147, verses 15 through 17, we see the preservation of this world by the power of God. Listen to it. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. Now turn again to Hebrews 1:3, where we read, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I wonder if you caught the import of this verse. Christ is not only seated on the right hand of the majesty on high, but this Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, dead and buried and rose again and is now seated in the heaven, is the one who is upholding all things by the word of his power. Now what does that mean? It means that your heartbeat, your next breath, your life, your existence is in the hands of Christ. Dare you then curse him and drag his name through the mud? My Lord is the resurrected, exalted, ruling, all-powerful Christ who is on the throne, and all things are under his control. And one of these days, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, you may be a cursing, rebellious, atheistic sinner at this hour, but I want to say to you very kindly, one of these days you're going to bow your knee before Christ, only at that time it's going to be too late. I urge you at this hour, sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you're the sinner. And when he saves you, you'll understand what I'm talking about, where I've said before, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus Christ to reach down and save you. The power of God not only keeps the preservation or extends to the preservation of this earth, but it also involves the government of this earth. Many today have the silly idea that politics and religion cannot mix, and nothing could be farther from the truth. What we need today in America and Canada and in the rest of the world are men and women who know Christ and serve him in government. The tragedy of our government at this hour is the lack of consecrated, godly men who are in governmental circles. We need men and women who are not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much better it would be to hear of congressmen praying and reading their Bible and witnessing for Christ rather than hear of them drinking and the sex scandals and all the other things which are going on today in the high annals of our government. It's a shame and a disgrace, but I want to tell you right now, my friend, God's going to take care of it one of these days. So let's pray that this will take place in our next election that's coming up. And then when it does, that we might have a government worthy of trust and dedicated to the right cause. The power of God is involved in all government because the Lord is the one that permits government to exist. The rulers in authority are put there by the permission and power of our Lord. And I wish all the rulers in authority would understand that. Take your Bibles now and turn back, if you will, to Romans chapter 13, if you will. Romans chapter 13, and look with me at verse 1, where we read, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now turn again to Daniel chapter 5, and verse 20 and 21, where we see the queen speaking to Belshazzar of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Listen to what she said. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Lest I be misunderstood, let me say to you this very clearly, so that all can understand. When a nation seeks to please the Lord and walk in the ways of God, that nation has good rulers placed over it. When a nation departs from the Lord, one of the first marks of God's displeasure on that nation is the absence of level-headed, consecrated, honest rulers. Instead, there comes a series of reckless, crooked, lustful, careless rulers who sell out their nation for personal gain. It may be fame or fortune, because these love the praises of men more than the favor and praise of God. Our nation is suffering with this under this curse at this hour, because America merely pays a lip service to the Lord, but its heart is far from God. Yet God keeps us. It's His power that keeps this nation. The responsibility for this condition can be laid at the doors of our churches and to our pulpits and pews. Gone is the day when righteousness and judgment was thundered from the pulpits of our land. Instead, we hear pious, high-sounding platitudes that merely tickle the ear, but leave the heart and life cold and dead. This condition has come about because repentance has been substituted for commitment, and card signing has been placed and been put in place of the revelation of Christ to the individual. The wrath of God, the holiness of God, the judgment of God, and the need of separation unto God are subjects we just don't hear any preached about any longer. And instead, we hear the goodness of God and the love of God, as well as the desecration of God, is proclaimed. Man is taught that God is helpless unless man allow God to do something. And we find very clearly this is absolutely wrong, my radio friend. Now I'm going to ask you a question in these closing moments. First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, you've experienced a little bit of the power of God. You see, it was God's power that broke you down and granted you repentance and faith, or else you'd never believe. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this involves God's power, because like the Apostle Paul wrote to the book of Romans, he said to us very clearly these words, listen to it, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." No individual can come to a saving knowledge of Christ without the power of God. You see, our Lord upholds this world in power, but our Lord also exercises His power because we are saved by blood and power. When our Lord sets out to save a sinner, you know what He does? He singles around that sinner's heart, opens that blind, dead, depraved heart, and shines in with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it becomes the power of God. Instead of the sinner being a cursing, rebellious sinner, God begins to break that sinner down at His feet, and He changes that individual. That individual at one time defied the Lord, blasphemed God. Now instead, this is what He's doing. He's suing for the mercy of the Lord to be bestowed upon him, because by the power of God, our Lord causes that individual to look inside and see his depraved, wicked heart. And then he's made to see also that God is a God of power, and God is a God of wrath, as well as learning also that God is a God of love. When God first of all deals with that sinner knows that God can send him to hell, and that sinner is afraid that he will. But then when God's power begins to work in that sinner's heart, that sinner is willing to go to hell if God wants that individual to do so. But to that individual's utter amazement, the Lord God of heaven shows that individual that because of Christ, that individual can come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my radio friend, as I've said before, when this takes place, the sinner is broken down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He begs for mercy, and then our Lord, in love to his soul, reaches down and delivers him from the pit of corruption and casts his sin behind God's back. Then place comes the love of God, shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, and we can testify very clearly that the gospel of Christ is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, in this closing hour, I want to ask you a question. Do you know Christ? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then put it down. The power of God one day will put you in hell, my radio friend, and you need to understand it. And one day, no matter who you may be, young, old, middle-aged, or elderly, educated or ignorant, preacher in the pulpit, or a sinner in the gutter, or an individual in the pew, every knee is going to bow before Christ one day and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My hope is that the Holy Spirit of God is even now dealing with your heart. You see, you have a responsibility, and your responsibility is to repent of your sin and sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners. I know you can't do it without God's power being exercised in you, but with some of you, He's dealing with you at this hour. And my hope is that you'll sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.